Glad they turned the lights on. I see somebody here. All right. Are you guys, I really thought, God's love never fails. Isn't it true? God's love never fails. Isn't it true? All right. God's been doing great things, and I'm excited right now as we're in the middle of this series called Comebacks. Because I don't know about you, know many of you are like me. We have a lot of setbacks in life. Life doesn't always go smooth. Life just doesn't kind of flow along. We just kind of drift along, and everything's okay, and there's no issues, there's no problems, there's no setbacks. And I've been looking, and what I've been challenged with is, for every setback, there's a comeback. But the problem is this, I don't know about you, but for me, I don't have a setback and a comeback and a problem and a comeback and a problem and a comeback. Most of my life is like this, and how many of you would go like this? It is a problem, a setback, a problem, then another problem, and then maybe four problems down the road, there's a comeback. You know, it would be nice if every time I had a setback, I got a comeback. You know, something went wrong today, it goes good tomorrow. It goes wrong today, it goes good tomorrow. It'd be nice if it would just kind of rotate like that. But most of the time, most of us have numerous things going on in our life, numerous setbacks, numerous issues, before there's finally a comeback. And I want us to think about that. And so in your outline, in your worship folder, there's a little outline. Let me encourage you to line out a little piece of paper in there. You can kind of get some blanks to fill out. You can kind of follow along there. But I put a definition of a setback there. A loss of progress, a defeat of a plan, or a reversal of good fortune. Now most of us, I would venture to say almost everyone at some point in life has a financial setback. Anybody agree with that one? That almost every one of us, somewhere in our lives, there's some financial setbacks. Maybe there's some relational setbacks. Maybe there's a job-related, a work-related setback, a school setback, you know, things at school don't go well, you get a teacher you don't like, or the grade comes back you wasn't quite thrilled with, you know. And, you know, we have these setbacks. There's losses in life, there's grief, there's hurts, there's wounds. We have these setbacks. And they don't all come one at a time, spaced out, so you get a time to breathe. You know, a lot of times they come threes and fours. And so I want to look at a gentleman this morning that had a number of setbacks. It was just one thing after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. And it seemed like, you ever been in that trap where it seems like it's never going to end? That it's nothing, my life is going to be nothing but this now, and it's just one thing after another, and I'm tired, and is it ever going to end? How do we deal with all these setbacks? And so I want to look at a man named Joseph this morning. Now, some of you might know your Bible. You might recognize his name. Now, make sure you understand which Joseph I'm talking about. I'm talking about Joseph in the Old Testament, not the New Testament. I say Joseph, and probably many of you go, Jesus' dad, right? That, well, this is Joseph of the Old Testament. He's one of the patriarchs of Israel. This Joseph made a difference, not only in his own life, not only through all setbacks, but he saved a nation. Matter of fact, not just one nation, but two nations. He made an impact on two different nations. He changed the perspective of the nation of Israel, and he changed the nation of Egypt just because of what God was doing with him. And so I want to kind of look at him, and if you look at your outline, kind of if you want to read his story, I don't have time. As you can tell, there's a lot of notes here. That's unusual, but there's a lot of scripture. But I want to kind of go through his life and kind of look at it. But you can read it. It's 37 through 50, the book of Genesis. It's the book in the Bible. It's kind of a historical recounting of the nation of Israel and kind of tells its story. So I want to look at this. So Joshua was a descendant of Abraham. Abraham is the father of the nation of Israel. God had called the nation of Israel out. He had commissioned he had commissioned Abraham as their father, and he begins to plant this nation of Israel in the promised land, and it goes through all of this. And he had a son named Ishmael and a named Isaac, and then he had a son named, and then Isaac had a son named Jacob, changed his name to Israel. That's where we get the name of Israel. And then Israel had, this is where it really gets interesting, 12 sons from four different wives. Doesn't that sound like fun? I live in a house with one wife. And I'm absolutely happy. I another. All right? I mean, can you imagine the dynamics of this man? He's got four women under one roof, 12 kids, plus a daughter in there somewhere, probably got a daughter in there somewhere, all spread out. I mean, just imagine the turmoil, what it must have been like living in this house. And if you read the story, there was a lot of competition. That's how they had so many kids. It's like this wife had one, and she didn't have one, so she wanted one. So she, I'm not going to go into all the story. You can read all that. But you can imagine the dynamics in that house and what it must have been like. And here we're going to look at a man named Joseph, who is the second to the youngest, all right? He's the second to the youngest in the home, and he is daddy's favorite, all right? He's the golden child. Anybody have a gold? Don't raise your hand if you're the golden child, okay? You know, my brothers always thought I was mama's favorite, okay? You know, they accused me of that. And so he's the chosen one. See, he was from Jacob's favorite wife. Talking about dynamics there, you know, favorite kid, favorite wife. Really going to go well in that home. Yeah. And so you can imagine the dynamics going on in that home. And he grows up in that home, and he has a dream of what God is going to do in his life and how God's going to use him. And he shares this dream and builds a lot of rapport with his brothers. Didn't go well. And so things are not going well in his life. And so I'm going to look at seven things of his life. How would you like to have seven setbacks before you get a comeback? Anybody? Just seven things. Financial, relational, work, family. Seven things go on before he finally gets relief. And I want to look at those seven things. We're going to have to go through these quickly. But I want you to look at, maybe you can identify with some of these, because I could. If you look at your outline here, I put this first one out. First setback, growing up in a home where he was ignored and mistreated by his siblings. Now, when you're the favorite child, how are your brothers and sisters going to treat you? Now, just so you know, I always have this principle. The oldest is the best, okay? I always believe it, because I'm the oldest, all right? You know, the oldest is the chosen one. This is the best. And here we got Joseph over here, who has a dream, and he's daddy's favorite, and we don't like him. His brothers despise him. Look at what it says here. Since Joseph was born when his father was Israel was old, Israel loved him more than his other sons. Does it sound like he's going to set up a really good relationship there? He gave Joseph a special robe with long sleeves. Now, some of your translations, if you have a different Bible, would say a coat of many colors. That word is only used here in the Bible. They've kind of, you know, what it was. And most of it looks like it's probably a coat of long sleeves, because when you had long sleeves, you can't work outside. You're daddy's child. You get to sit around the house, and you know, you get to lounge around in your smoking jacket, and you get to just kind of be daddy's chosen, all right? And so that's how Joseph is. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father loved him more than he loved them, they hated him. They hated their brother and could not speak to him politely. One time Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him even more. Lovely family, right? I'm sure you know, everybody, you guys all have good relationships in your family, right? Everybody gets along. Nobody fights. Nobody bickers. Nobody picks on one another. But let me ask you this. How about you? Have you ever felt ignored? Have you ever felt mistreated? Have you kind of felt like pushed to the side? That, you know, the family's going on and things are happening and you don't know what's going on. Anybody ever feel like that? You ever kind of get that feeling that, you know, you're part of the family? You know, have you ever heard a statement like this? I'm the black sheep of the family. Anybody ever? Your family ever planned something and you didn't get invited? Do you ever have these experiences? You know? this is what's going on in Joseph's life, you know, and it's like nobody likes him. Everybody's picking on him. They're talking about him. They're with him. He's the last one. He's the run of the family. You know, he's handsome. The scripture says he's a handsome young man and all this stuff. And you see all this going on in his life. And here he's ignored. Anybody get set back with ignored? He just kind of pushed aside. But it doesn't end there. You know, that it's bad enough to get ignored. It's bad enough to kind of be pushed aside. It's bad enough to just kind of, hated, forgotten. But it goes on from there. That's just the start. You know, the home life is kind of messed up. You know, dysfunctional family. Just so you know, I do not believe there is a functional family, all right? I think every family's dysfunctional. Now, you might have a different picture of your family, but I think when you start digging a little deeper, you know, you go back to Adam and Eve, and when a brother murders another brother, I think that's pretty dysfunctional. But here it's ignored, and so I think we've all experienced that. How do we respond? What do you do when you have these experiences? And you know, you're being teased, you're being put down. You know, you had an unhappy childhood. You know, you've gone through these battles in your life. That's a setback for Joseph. But it didn't stop there. He told his dream, and I put this next one down. Setback number two, being tossed into a pit of rejection. All right? It's one thing to be ignored. Look what happens after they ignore it. They begin to hate, and if you don't take care of your hate, it just kind of nurtures. And guess what this hatred turns to? Most of you know this story. It turns to murder. They want to kill him. Our brother's a jerk. Our brother's a pain. Our brother's a runt. Our brother's making trouble. Let's just murder our brother. All right? Look at what it says. Joseph's brothers saw him coming from far away. Before he reached them, they made a plan to kill him. They said to each other, "Here comes that dreamer. Let's kill him and throw his body into one of those wells. We can tell our father that a wild animal killed him. Then we will see what will become of his dreams. We'll just get rid of our brother." Anybody here ever feel rejected? Not just ignored. How about taking another step to reject it? I felt ignored in my family. You know, like I say, they have parties and I don't get invited. You know, they have an Easter party. Invite me. And I find out later on, hey, we got together for Easter at noon on Sunday. Oh, thank you. But I never felt rejected. Somebody felt rejected. That your childhood and that part of your life, and maybe right now, you just kind of been pushed aside and rejected. And here he's being rejected by all of those that are around him. Now, this is extreme, but I'm going to tell you, they want to kill him, but some of our setbacks are extreme. Some of those issues in our life, those financial issues, are extreme. Some of those relational battles that we struggle with are extreme. Sometimes those things that are going on in our life, those setbacks and those troubles and those heartaches, are extreme. So they were rejecting him. But Reuben, his older brother, see, the oldest always has a better idea. Look what happened. But Reuben heard their plan and saved Joseph. Thank you. Let's not kill him. Don't spill any blood. Throw him into this well here in the desert and don't hurt him. Reuben planned to save Joseph later and send him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they pulled off his robe with the long sleeves and threw him into the well. It was empty, and there was no water in it. He might as well be dead. Just die the long death instead of just murdering him right off the bat. Just throw him in this hole. Leave him in this hole. Let's just reject him. Now, he's a young man. Isn't the trauma? Any of us have trauma from childhood? As I look at this setback, it's just one thing. You know, it's like I'm ignored, and then they mistreat me, they tease me, they pick on me, and then all of a sudden you're rejected and you're pushed out. You don't matter. You're just thrown aside. You're thrown into this pit of rejection. Anybody ever feel rejected? That your life doesn't matter. That you're just a nobody. And that you're just here. It just seems to snowball. It's going from ignorant, from just ignoring to rejection, and it doesn't stop there. They're sitting there eating. and their brother's in the pit. I can imagine they're sitting there eating, and their brother's, get me out, I'm hungry too. I want some water, it's hot down here. And they're just eating, just ignoring their brother, and maybe his cries for help sitting in the hole. So what they do, they see some people going by, they go, let's sell him. I put it this way, being sold out for money. Anybody ever been sold out for money? Now, you know, it's not, well, I've never been sold out for money, but how about, you know, you got a job and they downsize? Anybody been caught in a downsize of a job? Or there's a corporate buyout, you know, the company buys another company and now they got duplicate positions and they got some people. Or how about this one? I think many of us could probably identify with this one. Anybody get trapped in the recession and lose a job because of the recession? The company had to make decisions and you lose your job and because of the money. People, you know, as I was thinking about this message, I was going to put sex trafficking in there today. I mean, that's a major issue today. We think, just so you know, you think Stanislaus County is a little good place? It's not, folks. We need to be aware of this. Look at what it says there. Then Judas said to his brothers, what will we gain if we kill him? Our brother and hide his death. Let's sell him to these Ishmaelites. Then we will not be guilty of killing our own brother. After all, we are brothers, our own flesh and blood. And the other brothers agreed. So when the midnight traders came by, the brothers took Joseph out of the well and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 8 of silver. And the Ishmaelites took him to Egypt. They just sold him off. Now, what's interesting about this story, there's some interesting things here. First of all, is the majority right? Well, they all agreed. You know, hey, we got 12, there's 11 of us here. Let's all take a vote. We all agreed. Let's sell brother. Okay, we're selling brother. Majority is not always right. Voting in a family never works, okay? I have this principle. The only vote that counts in my home was mine and Laura's. All right, I'm going to count her. You know, the kids don't get votes. You know, voting doesn't matter. But as I was looking at this story, they want to sell their brother for 8 ounces. You know what the going rate of a slave was? 30. They're selling him on the cheap. We're gonna discount our brother and get rid of him. Anybody, you know, anybody feel discounted in life? Just kind of like, you're just kind of a nobody. You know, maybe not reject, but you're nobody. You're not much. You have no skills. You have no talents. You have nothing we can use. You're just a nobody. Anybody get this picture here? Man, you guys are quiet today. I must be touching some toes or something this morning. Do you ever feel that? You know, you're going to be sold out, you know, for money. You know, rejected, ignored, sold out for money. You know, it's just the almighty dollar. Isn't the body, you know, and we sell out for that. How about the next setback I put down here? Losing your identity. He's going to lose his identity. I mean, when they say he's dead, he is gone. He exists no more. He has nothing. There's no more Joseph. He's gone, never to be seen again. Nobody's going to talk to him again. Never going to hear his voice again. His identity is gone. He's erased from their life. The brothers killed a great goat and dipped Joseph's robe in its blood. Then they brought the long sleeve robe to their father. We found this robe. Look it over carefully. Now listen to what it says here. And see if it is your son's robe. You notice that? They didn't say, see if this is our brother. See if this is your son. He doesn't exist. He's not our brother anymore. He's nobody. He doesn't even exist anymore. Jacob looked it over and said, it is my son's robe. Some savage animal has eaten him. My son Joseph has been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes and put on rough clothing to show that he was upset. And he continued to be sad about his son for a long time. All of his sons and daughters tried to comfort him, but he could not be comforted. He said, I will be sad about my son until the day I die. So Jacob cried for his son Joseph. He just don't exist no more. Do you ever feel that way in life? That you just, you know, who am I? You know, what am I doing here? I just, you know, maybe you had a job and you lost your job and your identity was lost in that job. Or maybe you were married and you're a husband or a wife and you end up in a divorce and now it's like, who am I? And how do I fit into this world now? And where do I go? And how do I belong? And anybody here feel a setback with a loss of identity? I'm just not there anymore. There's a fifth one. Setback. Being forced to take a job you don't want. Now, I was going to ask you to raise your hand if you got a job you don't like, but don't do that. Yeah. Anybody ever have a job you didn't like? Yeah. You just can't stand. I got to have a job, so I got to take this job. I don't like this job. I don't like what I'm doing. Anybody been in a place like that? I can remember when I came up to go to seminary. I had my college degree. I had a BA. I had my college degree. And I ended up being a prestigious job of a janitor. Anybody? Isn't that a prestigious job? And the secretaries would literally hide paper clips on their desk or under the desk, make sure I dusted their desk and vacuumed. And I'm going, I got a college degree and I got this secretary jacking with me. That was really fun. How about a job? How about this other job? I, as pastor here, trying to make ends meet, trying to get things going in life, I was shoveling horse manure with a master's degree. Isn't that nice? Why would I have to shovel? Anybody ever shovel horse manure besides me? Yeah, see, good. I get. You might get a job you don't like. Anybody been in those positions where you? I'm better than this. I deserve more than this. This is not who I am. And here, this is where Jacob's at. I mean, Joseph is at. You know, it's like, what am I doing here? I did nothing. I have this. It says, meanwhile, the Midianites who had brought Joseph had taken him to Egypt. They sold him to Potiphar, an officer to the king of Egypt, and a captain of the palace guard. Here's your job. Don't like it? Tough luck? Suck it up, sonny. Go to work. And we have this setback, you know, and here's my dream, and here's my vision, and here's where I'm going with my life, and here's what I'm going to do, and all of a sudden, it's like, no, here's what you're doing. Shut up and do your job. And he had this setback again. And I want to make sure you get a picture here. It's one thing. Now, we're to five, and there's no comeback. It's just one thing after another. Anybody ever feel like that in life? It's just one thing, and then it's another thing, and you think, oh, it's going to be over now. It's got to turn around. It's too many, and then there's another thing, and it just keeps going and going in his life, and now he's in this job he can't stand, a job he doesn't like, a job he has to do. But one thing to note is he worked at it no matter what, the best he could. Even if he didn't like it, even if he didn't want it, he still worked at it as hard as he could. And then how about number six? Setback number six. Being punished for doing the right thing. Now, I've got punished for doing the wrong thing. And I deserve those, all right? Spare the rod, spoil a child. I know that one, all right? I got the rod a whole lot. But what about getting punished for doing the right thing? Have you ever done the right thing and got in trouble? You ever done the right thing and had people say things and put you in the wrong perspective? You know, you do the right thing. They call it whistleblowers now in the government. They have whistleblowers, and he did the right thing, and he got in trouble. I think we see this today. I'm going to read this, and it's a long passage, but kind of get a picture here and see if you can see something about today in our society today goes from this. There's an incident today in our world today that's in the news today that is seen in this passage right here. So Potiphar left Joseph in charge of everything he owned and was not concerned about anything except the food he ate. Joseph's doing great. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. After some time, the wife of Joseph's master began to desire Joseph, and one day she said to him, "Have sexual relations with me." But Joseph refused and said to her, "My master trusts me with everything in this house. He has put me in charge of everything he owns. There is no one in this house greater than I. He has not kept anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How can I do such a thing? It is a sin against God. Not only a sin against the master, but a sin against God. Make sure you get a picture there. The woman talked to Joseph every day. He refused to have such relationships with her or even spend with her. Now, I slowed down there. Pay attention. Even spend time with her. One day, Joseph went into the house to do his work as usual and was the only man in the house at that time. His master's wife grabbed his coat and said, "Come and have sexual relations with me." But Joseph left his coat in her hand and ran out of the house. When she saw that Joseph had left his coat in her hand and had ran out of the outside, he called to his servants at the house and said, "Look, this Hebrew slave has brought her to shame on us. He came in and tried to have sexual relations with me, but I screamed. My scream scared him and he ran away, but he left his coat with me." She kept his coat until her husband came home and she told him the same story. She said, "The Hebrew slave you brought here came to shame me. When he came near me, I screamed. He ran away. He left his coat." Then Joseph's master heard what his wife and said Joseph had done. He became very angry. So Potiphar arrested Joseph and put him in the prison where the king's prisoners were put. But Joseph stayed in there in the prison. You see a picture? Now, that was a long passage, but I want you to catch something in there that I see in our world today. Joseph said, "Listen, not only am I going to do this, I'm going to stay away from her." Did you get that picture there? I'm going to stay away from her. We had this thing today for churches. We hear years ago, anybody know the Billy Graham rule? Anybody? Billy Graham's rule is this: I'll never be alone with another woman that's not my wife. That's the Billy Graham rule. Billy Graham set that up back in the 50s when he was starting his ministry, in the 60s when he started his ministry. We hear people today say that, and they're getting criticized for saying that. I don't know if you noticed that. I have some rules, I do too. I have a rule. I will not be alone with another woman. In my office, you know, the door, you guys know, people know, if I'm down here and a woman comes to the church, I leave. You know, they want to come down here and do something, I'm not going to stay in the church. And Joseph had that rule. He's not going to hang around. I'm not going to be here. I'm not going to put myself in this position. You know, and I'm just going to read the newspaper. You see this today. We think this because I'm going to get accused of doing the wrong thing. And I'm doing the right thing. I love it. You know, just so you know, I'll set it up for you. You know, our vice president has said this. I will not be. And he's been criticized for it. I said it. We have a woman superintendent of our school district. I'm on the school board. She got elected. I told her, I will not be in the car with you visiting the school. I will meet you at the school. Will not go to a restaurant with you and have a meeting at a restaurant with you. So we have meetings at the district office. Because I'm, you know, have you been here, been criticized for doing the right thing? Anybody been picked on for doing the right thing? That's a setback. I mean, it just keeps piling up on Joseph. It's one thing after another. It just keeps hitting Joseph. And here's the seventh. Seven, being forgotten by the people you help. I was just talking with Dan about this one this week. We minister to people all the time, and maybe you have those opportunities where you help people and you serve people and you help somebody, and then they forget you. They ignore you. They reject you. I think this is really interesting. Here's what happened. Joseph in prison, right? Joseph is in prison. He's in prison, sitting there, and he has some God dreams. A cupbearer and a baker have a dream, and he interprets the dreams for them, and he says this to them. Well, here's what it says. "But when you are free, remember me. Be kind to me and tell the king about me so I can get out of this prison. I was taken by force from the land of the Hebrews, and I have done nothing here to be deserving being put in prison." But the officer who served wine did not remember Joseph. He forgot all about him. You ever been forgotten about the people you help the most? Somebody you step in, you give them an opportunity, you give them a chance, you give them something that they can take a move up, and then they, how about this, stick in the back. Anybody been stuck in the back by somebody? Don't raise your hand. They might be sitting with you. Anybody? You know, what's so good about this one, you know, somebody just right, you know, I always said, I knew somebody, you know, come up and give you a hug, and they're going like this. Ah, glad to see you. Anybody been in those kind of relationships? See, this is what's going on here, and it's like you help somebody, and they forget you. Now, I want you to notice, Joseph went through all of this. It wasn't one problem. It wasn't two problems. It wasn't three. It's seven things, and it's like, God, when is it going to end? From a teenage boy to years later before the comeback. How do you endure that? I'm going to ask you, how do you endure your troubles? How do you endure your setbacks? What do you do when it's one thing after another, after another, after another, and you're going, I'm tired, I'm fed up, I want to quit, I want to run. You've been rejected, you've been ignored, you've been sold out for money, your identity is gone, you're just a nobody, you're just existing. You ever been like that? You ever been just, I don't even know who I am anymore, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore, life is just, it's over. Anybody feel like that? How do you go through those times? What do you do when you go through those times? I want to tell you what you can do. You can do what Joseph did. So I'm going to give you three quick things. Real quick, okay? Three quick things of what Joseph did that made a difference in him. That as you're going through these, because I don't know about you, I want a problem and a comeback. A problem and a comeback. I want it immediately. You know, let's get this thing real. I don't want to go through seven things before it happens. But sometimes, anybody been in point? I've been one for a year and a half. Anybody been in one for a year and a half? Some of you guys, I've been in one for 10 years, right? I don't know. But I can remember a time for a year and a half. I was in. I'm going to say this. I was in hell. Anybody been in that one like that? What do you do? How do you go through that year and a half? Or year, or 5 years, I don't know where you're at in your life. How do you go through that time when you feel like you're being ignored, and you feel like you don't matter, and you feel like nobody cares, and those people you help keep ignoring you, and you're just forgotten, and the phone doesn't ring, you know, and your family's doing their own thing, and how do you go through that? What do you do? Well, Joseph gives us three things, and so I'm going to give these real quick, so hang with me real here. First one, he depended on God's presence no matter what. No matter where he was, no matter what was going on in his life, God was there. All right? He counted on God the whole time. I don't know how to do this. I don't know what I would do. If I'm in prison, I'm going to be crying out to God. God, get me out of here. All right? And I want you to see that. Listen to what it says here in Acts chapter 7, verse 9. Jacob's sons became jealous of Joseph and sold him to the slave in Egypt. But God was with him. Look again here. Now Joseph had been taken out of Egypt, 39, 1 and 2. An Egyptian named Potiphar was an officer of the king of Egypt and a captain of the palace guard. He bought Joseph the Ishmaelite who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. Circle that word, successful. He lived in the house of his master, Potiphar, the Egyptian. Even though he's going through all this trouble, guess what? He's bought by a very powerful man. So God was there. God made the right man buy him. He's still in trouble. It's still not right. It's still success, but he's successful. You know, you can be successful even in the setbacks of life. Can you do that? Yeah, I want to make sure you see it. You can be, even when things aren't going well, you can still find success. God was with him, and God was still bringing success. Tuck him to the right guy for the job he had, even though he didn't like it. Potiphar was the, let's go on, Genesis 39, 3 through 5. Potiphar saw that the Lord was with Joseph. You notice, everybody else was seeing God with him. And the Lord made Joseph successful in everything he did. So Potiphar was very happy with Joseph and allowed him to be his personal servant. He put Joseph in charge of his house, trusting him with everything he owned. When Joseph was put in charge of the house and everything Potiphar owned, the Lord blessed. Why don't you circle that word? The Lord blessed the people in Potiphar's house because of Joseph. The Lord blessed everything that belonged to Potiphar, both in the house and in the field. Others, you know, even though, now this one, I don't know about you, but this disturbed, you know, when my life's going bad, I want everybody else's life going bad. Anybody on that one? You know, if I'm hurting, I want everybody hurt, right? Joseph is hurting, and this guy is getting blessed because of Joseph. That ain't fair. Now, I want to make sure you see this picture. God is working. Even though Joseph is in jail, even though Joseph is a slave, he is being a blessing to other people. You know, you can be a blessing in the midst of your setback. Did you know that? You can be a blessing to somebody else in the midst of your heartache, in the midst of your financial situation, in the midst of your work situation, in the midst of your relationship. You can be a blessing to somebody else because God is with you. So Potiphar arrested Joseph and put him into the prison, 39:20-22, where the king's prisoners were put. And Joseph stayed there in the prison. But the Lord was Joseph and showed him kindness and caused the prison warden to like Joseph. The prison warden chose Joseph to take care of all the prisoners, and he was responsible for whatever was done in the prison. You see that? He's in prison, but God is taking care of him. God cares for you even in your setback, but he's with you. He's never left you. He's always going to be with you. The warden, Genesis 39:23, the warden paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's care because the Lord was with and made him successful in everything he did. You hear how many times it was told about being successful? So I want to make sure you get a picture. Even in your setbacks, even when things are going wrong, even when things are not right, rejection and you're ignored and you're abused or whatever it is, God is with you and you can have success. And like I said, I can name those 18 months. 18 months, I can name. I still remember those 18 months. It was just one thing after another. But you know what? I had some successes in that time. God blessed me in that time. God cared for me in that time. Just so you know, God cared me enough in that time to make it last 18 months. Did you know that? I needed those 18 months. It could have been 6 months and I would have really been hurt. See, God cares. See, God is with us. So here's what you're going to do. When you're in your midst of your setback, know God's with you. All right? God is with you. He's not left you and abandoned you. He's with you and he can make you successful. He will give you kindness. He will bring the right people. You know, here's Potiphar. The right guy buys him. Yes, he's sold. And yes, but the right guy buys him. Yes, he's in prison. But the right person sees something in him and gives him these opportunities. Even in your setbacks, God can be working in your setback because he's with you. The next one I put down here is he depended on God's plan and promises no matter how long it took. God had given Joseph a dream. God had given Joseph this opportunity for his life. Joseph, this is where your life's going to go, Joseph. Joseph doesn't know how it's going to be. Doesn't know how it's going to get there, but this is where it's going to go, Joseph. And Joseph's sitting there, I'm going to depend on God's plan. I don't know how God's doing this. I don't know why God's doing this. This is not the way I would do it. You know, sometimes God does things not the way I want. Anybody been in that one? God moves and does things different than I would. I'm glad he does because he's a lot smarter than me. But he's counting God. Look at what it says. Then Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Oh, just kind of set the stage for that scripture there. Joseph's brothers had to come and get some food. They're starving back in Israel. And Joseph has control of the food bank in Egypt. And so Joseph controls the food bank. And they don't know where Joseph is. So they come to Egypt to buy some food. And through a situations of several things, they had to buy food from their brother. And he never told them. They come, they didn't recognize, I don't know why, but they never recognized Joseph. And finally, Joseph reveals himself to them, and now they're afraid, okay? It's payback time, right? We were mean to our brother, I'm going to be mean, all right? It's payback time for Joseph to get even, but he doesn't. Here's what he says. Then Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Can I do what only God can do? You meant to hurt me, but God turned your evil into good to save the lives of many people. Which is being done. He said, I had to go through all of these setbacks. I had to go through the ignored and mistreated and the rejection and sold for money. And I had to go through this job that I don't like. And I had to go through, right on down the line, I had to go through all of us, lost my identity. I had to go through all of this. But God was working so that he could save everyone for this opportunity. See, he counted on God's plan and God's promises to get him through there. God was there. He's always there, and his plan's going to be fulfilled. And the last one he puts this way. He depended on God's help in every challenge. This is one that's hard for me to learn. Because if you've been here a while, those who know me, I am a control freak. Anybody know that one? Yeah, see, I am a control freak. That's just, I want into control. And long as I'm in control, things are smooth. Runs really nice. Not quite. All right? It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes I need to depend on God to help me. And I've always been one that doesn't. The king said to Joseph, I've had a dream, but no one can explain its meaning to me. I have heard that you can explain a dream when someone tells it to you. Joseph answered the king, I am not able to explain. Joseph said, I can't do it. The meaning of dream, that God. Circle that God. That God will do this for the king. See, God's going to help me do that. I'm going to tell you this. God's with you. God has not forgotten you. God has not abandoned you. God is with you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he's going to help you get there. All right? You're not on this on your own. You don't need all you. It's all you know. It's all your strength. It's all your ability. No. It's all with God. It's what God does. It's how God works. And so there's a comeback. He endured all of this. And here's the comeback. I want to make sure I ended with this scripture right here. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, you're the man. I want you to write above that. You're the one. Would you write that above that word right there? Right above, you're the man. Right, you're the one. Would you do that? You're the one. God has given you the inside story. No one is qualified as you to experience and wisdom. From now on, you're in charge of my affairs. All my people will report to you. Only as the king will I be over you. So Pharaoh commissioned Joseph. I am putting you in charge of the entire country of Egypt. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his finger and slipped it on Joseph's hand. He outfitted him in robes of the best linen and put gold chain around his neck. He put the second-in-command chariot at his disposal. And as he rode, people shouted, Bravo! Joseph was in charge of the entire country of Egypt. Pharaoh told Joseph, and I am Pharaoh, but no one in Egypt will make a single move without your stamp of approval. What if, is that a comeback or not? I mean, it was snowball bigger, and it's like it goes from ignored, rejected, all the way down to prison. And now, the comeback. I want to tell you, you're the one for the comeback. That's what I want you to know this morning. I don't know what you've been through. Maybe right now you've had a snowball of issues, a snowball of setbacks. Maybe nothing has gone right all week long. Maybe nothing's gone right for the last year. Maybe it's been five. I don't know. Maybe it's just been a number. It's just nothing's going right, and it's just like it's just piling up. Rejected and ignored and sold out, and your identity and your job, and it just feels like there's just nothing there. And you know, who am I? And what's life meaning? And you're at this thing, and I want to say you're the one. You're the one for the comeback. What God wants to do in you. Trust God. This is not the end. God is at work. So at the bottom of your page, I put it this way. Setbacks are actually stepping stones. Setbacks are actually stepping stones. I'll say it this way for me. I have no regret. I've had some things in my life that I don't like. Anybody? But I don't regret them because it made me who I am today. I told you about that 18 months I went through that it's like, you know, I'm going to say it was like hell. But it wasn't for those 18 months I wouldn't be who I am today. God used those as stepping stones. So I want to ask you this morning. What setback is your stepping stone today? Think about it. What setback is your stepping stone today? Let's pray. Lord, what a joy it is to know that you are always with us, that you've never forgotten us, and you will never abandon us, that you are always with us, that your plan and your purpose is sure. Just as you gave Joseph a dream, you have a dream for every one of our lives, and it is sure. It will happen. Not because of our strength or our wisdom, but because of the mighty power of God, because you're going to help. God, thank you for being God. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're battling a setback of rejection. Maybe something financial, maybe something relational. Maybe you feel ignored and life just passed by. Maybe you lost your identity. I don't know what it is. You want me to pray for you and say, would you just pray that I can take this as a stepping stone? Would you shoot your hand up and say, pray for my stepping stone? Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone? Lord, you've seen the hands of these that want to turn setbacks into stepping stones. They don't want the traps or the cracks. They want to turn to you, that you will lift them up. That just as you brought success to Joseph, you'll bring success to them. Just as you show kindness to Joseph, you show kindness to them. Just as you bless Joseph, you will bless them. Lord, turn those setbacks into stepping stones for the plan and purpose of God. Encourage, strengthen them. Inspire them to the greatness that you have planned for their lives. Just as you've done for Joseph, do for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.